Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in
Stop it.
Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot is we just got back from seeing Superman.
Indeed we did.
No spoilers. I don't want to ruin anything for anybody, but a dog factors heavily into this movie.
Very important.
I think that's in the ads.
Yes.
I don't think I'm ruining anything for anybody.
I mean, for me, very high. Very
you
high.
Love a nice dog.
Top tier part of the movie. Absolutely.
So we went to go see this at the Alamo Draft House.
Yep.
And this is where my bright spot comes in.
Okay.
I love sneaky waiters.
Okay. All right.
I think the people who work there do such a great job.
Yeah.
Because they are tasked with doing something that is probably distracting and annoying to a lot of people. So they have to try and do their job and not be disruptive.
Yeah.
And I'm just amazed that they can pull it off.
They're not.
I tip my cap.
It's very like when you see one of those plays. Where they have the like six people who are dressed from head to toe in black, and you can just see them moving the sets in and out as though there was an insignificant blob like changing things.
Mm.
That they're that good. They were very good.
Just tiptoeing around.
Absolutely.
You have to hunch over.
And they were in plain clothes too. They weren't wearing uniforms with little name tags or anything. So you're like, maybe this person's gonna sit next to me. But then they were gone in a flash.
Yep. And they just brought you popcorn. So anyway, that was fun. I like that. What's your bright spot?
My bright spot is very similar, based around the same place. I think I was talking to you. We were talking to about it just a little bit, but I went to the bathrooms and they were so clean. And this is in Wrigleyville, and it was
not a neighborhood known for clean.
You know,
in our history,
transported me into a stepping through the past of being in Wrigleyville and just the sheer volume of shitty toilets in that my history of Wrigleyville.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was perfect. And I don't know what my bright spot is. I don't know if my bright spot is that it used to be shitty or that it isn't shitty now.
I bet you could find a lot of really bad bathrooms.
Oh, I bet you could.
Yeah.
I bet they're still there.
Yeah, no.
You got to find them.
I mean, the theater is right across the street from Sluggers.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm pretty sure those bathrooms would be torn up.
Yeah, and whatever improvements Wrigley may make or may not make, they're still going to be the troughs. Everybody's going to pee into a big trough. That's what's going to happen.
At Wrigley itself, yes.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen till the day we all die.
And I'd like to, this isn't a bright spot. It's not really a dark spot. It's just a, like, let's correct the record kind of thing. I, after the movie, was like, hey, Jordan, let's go to the batting cages at Sluggers. And you said no.
Right.
Now, we know from this podcast that you're from sports.
I am from sports.
And yet, I suggested a sport.
Right.
And you said no.
Okay.
I want to go home.
All right. All right. I say I put it to you that should I have agreed, we would not have followed through regardless.
I guarantee we would have. If you had said, yeah, fuck yeah, let's do it.
Easier to say now than it was back then.
You know what? You might be right, but only because the Cubs game was just getting out.
That is kind of the thing.
Yeah. If the Clark Street hadn't been flooded with people, I do think I would have been like, no, fuck you. You agreed. Let's go. Let's go to the batting cage.
I think if we had both known how many people were going to be like just in the way, we might have just been like, let's go there and wait for people to clear out.
Maybe.
I would have been fine with that.
If we didn't have an episode to record, too, that's another factor.
The fact that it was about 45 minutes ago also has something to do with it. Mm. Yeah.
But you don't love sports as much as you say you do.
Old man. I'm an old man, and death comes to us all. Perhaps it's come to me sooner than I would appreciate.
Yeah. Take some swings. loosen it up.
Maybe.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over. Okay. We're going to be talking about Superman and June 23rd, 2025.
All right. Okay.
Alex is in a tough spot.
Oh, yeah?
Much like Superman at some point in the movie.
At some points in the
everyone
movie.
Everyone knows there's going to be a tough spot for him. He has to rise above something.
I mean, all movies essentially have at least one conflict.
Right.
Yeah.
And Alex is in that conflict.
Yeah.
He's in the belly of the whale, as it were.
Right.
Because he killed Gene Hackman.
Yes.
America is still in an active civil war.
Yes.
That he has not told us has ended.
True.
And Iran and Israel are fighting.
Yeah.
And now Trump has attacked Israel. Attacked Iran, excuse me.
We had avoided World War III, but now World War III has begun.
It has to have.
Yeah.
And Alex is in a tough situation.
Well, we all are in a way. Yeah.
Yep. And we'll see how he navigates that. But first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, hello, Zeffy Weffy. This is your shout-out coming to you directly from your Sashi. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Jordan, but I go by Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin. Love the show and enthusiasm. Keep it up. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And shout out to Kalo. You are stupid, you are stinky, and your crocodile style is missed terribly. From Owen, not that one. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technical grad in the mix, Jordan. Ooh. So thank you so much to D-Dog from Phoenix. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So we start off on the 23rd, and Trump has bombed Iran.
True.
And Alex is kind of clinging on to some, maybe this is just him taking out the nuclear stuff, so
sure.
Israel doesn't have as much of a reason to
right.
want to...
It could be a peaceful bombing.
Right.
It is possible that this is a bomb that will inspire peace, as we all know bombs have done historically.
Or at very least, I really don't want Trump to want regime change.
It would be nice if he would just pull it back.
Or at least if his goal isn't to do regime change.
Sure, 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 sure.
The last 25 years of U.S. history is...
Yeah.
Created a sour tone around the idea of regime change.
Yeah, our entire adult lives might have had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Trump took to social media.
Oh!
And Alex has had his balloon burst.
It was 11, almost 12 days ago that Israel started its bombardment of Iran. We were all told it was just to get their nuclear sites. It wasn't about regime change. Then 3 or 4 days later, the guy really running the show, Benjamin Netanyahu, said, no, it's regime change. And then yesterday, Trump came out and said, it's not politically correct to use the term regime change, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be a regime change, make Iran great again? And now, to top that off, Trump just threatened Russia with our nuclear submarines, launched cruise missiles, and said, we've got nuclear weapons delivery systems 20 years advanced over every other nation, and said Kremlin spokesperson and former president of Russia, Medvedev, better not be talking about nuclear weapons when he says nations are moving, including North Korea, who's announced they are planning to do it, and they do what they say they're going to do, nuclear weapons. Putin has come out and issued a warning. Kremlin warns that other nations ready to give Iran nukes. Dangerous escalation has begun, says Putin.
Oh, man, that sounds like shit.
Yep.
It sounds bad.
That's rough. That's rough. It seems like somebody is at fault for not doing what it is they want him to do, I guess, right?
I mean, Trump saying, why is regime change a dirty word? Hey, maybe I'll nuke Russia.
For all of the reasons that it is.
This is bad. Alex is having a real moment where the person that you've sold us is not this person. You know, like,
yeah.
The audience has to recognize, like, this is way out of step with what we would have expected someone with the knowledge, with the awareness that Alex has said Trump has. This
yeah.
is not how they would respond to this.
Yeah. Yep, it is. It is a like. It feels like when you're when you got a thing of pop. We just saw a movie. So, like, when you got a thing of popcorn in the microwave, mm-hmm. and it, you had those initial pop, 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 those are the people going, maybe I've been conned, right? And now, as time goes on, we're experiencing a greater number of pops as things go along. But you know there's always those straggler pops that refuse to become popcorn slash admit that they were conned. Mm-hmm. So we're just trying to figure out where it is we are on that spectrum.
Yeah, there,
right?
There's some people are destined to remain a colonel.
Yeah, are we burnt colonels? Yeah. Is that what Alex is going to be? Will he a burnt colonel?
No, he's a lieutenant colonel.
He's a nice. Well done.
So I do think that there's something to be said for Alex, and that is that he says things. And in this next clip, he says, this is bullshit. Which,
fair.
You know, I can't really argue with.
And it's bullshit.
I don't care, and I don't believe Alex. He's not a sincere person.
Yeah.
But can't really argue with this
bullshit.
Is bullshit.
So that's where we are. You can say you're for bombing Iran. You can say you're against it. And Trump did always say he didn't want them to have a nuclear program, but he wasn't for full war and regime change. And so he could say, hey, I didn't lie. I'm the peace president. And he's certainly been doing a good job trying to de-escalate with Russia until now. But it is not truthful for a campaign promise to now endorse regime change. So my integrity and the truth always comes first.
Does it?
It makes me physically sick to see all the great things Trump's doing domestically and with the economy and with sovereignty and going after all the leftist brainwashing and trying to break our will. I mean, it's beautiful. And the deportations and the sex traffickers being arrested. I mean, mass arrest all over the place. All this good news. And then right in the middle of it, a trillion-pound turd in the punch bowl.
It was very obvious we were going to end up in a place like this because Alex has already been in this place multiple times.
Yeah.
Where he looks like he's finally realizing that this Trump guy sure isn't acting like the guy Alex has been pretending he was. Strangely, it seems like a lot of these moments come about because Trump has done something that's against Russia's foreign policy objectives, which makes sense because, as we've determined, America first loves Russia.
Yeah.
There would be a lot of pleasure in basking in the I told you so type feelings, but none of this even matters to someone like Alex because he isn't just now realizing that Trump sucks. He's always known, but his desire for things like terrorizing LGBTQ folk and immigrants, that always outweighed his embarrassment at pretending that Trump wasn't a piece of shit.
Mm.
When he has these moments, it's generally because the thing that Trump did was so egregious that there's no real spin for it, and he just needs to punt. You can't try to tell the audience that Trump isn't in favor of regime change in Iran when he's posting on social media about how he's into regime change in Iran. If Alex ever believed that Trump was a good guy who should be in office, him posting something like this should be seriously a cause for reflection, because Alex would have to recognize that he's super wrong.
Yeah.
And wrong on a level where your analysis might be a public danger, so you might need to rethink really basic pieces of it. We've seen this go down before, typically Alex will give this little performance about how his principles matter so much to him and he just can't go along with this. Then shit'll cool off and he'll remember how critical Trump is to advancing the white nationalist agenda, and things will go back to him loving Trump, or I'll call good things good and bad things bad, or whatever.
Sure,
the status
sure.
quo will return.
Sure.
One of these times, you have to think that he'll finally have had enough. But here on the 23rd, this really feels like the same on-again, off-again style relationship that he has with Trump. It's just at the point where there's no way he can, with a straight face, defend this.
Yeah, it's a little okay. So when you're dealing with cults, right, there's the initial period where you got the charismatic leader, but then a lot of times what'll happen is eventually some of the crimes that you get when you commit when you're a cult leader will catch up with you and you'll wind up going to jail, but the cult might just stick around and there's somebody who steps in to the power vacuum and gets to say, oh, the cult leader totally told me we need to do this. And that's what you got to do with Trump. Trump needs to be in prison, and you got to be like, oh, this guy, Trump, he was telling me that we got to go do these things that coincidentally we all wanted to do.
Sure. That or him be dead. It would be
convenient. He needs to be. Yeah. I mean, if you've got a charismatic leader, you kill him almost immediately and then you go
right,
from there.
Right. Because the alternative of what you need to do is do another Tea Party.
Yeah.
You need to do the Tea Party all over again and turn Trump into Bush.
Yeah.
And then create your own, like, real right wing that, you know, Alex could do that. He's done it before.
Can't see that turning into a downward spiral that takes all of us with it.
No, but that's the other way to get rid of the baggage of Trump.
Yeah.
Would be to make him a neocon or something like that.
No, he's much better as a martyr than a living thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the difficulty.
That's the problem.
So Trump has bombed Iran,
yep.
And now we're waiting for Iran's response.
Right.
Alex doesn't know if, what are they going to do? Is it going to be, like, a nuke? Are we all dead?
I mean, it would be an interesting turn. Yeah.
He's straight up, like, reflecting on air. How long would it take for a missile to reach the U.S. if it went over the North Pole? Like, he's like, well, we might have half an hour left.
Yeah, I believe, because I wrote about this, I believe it's 45 minutes from somewhere to L.A.
Okay, so but you and Alex that, were in similar headspace.
I remember that being a plot point, is like, everybody says that you've got, like, 45 minutes, no matter where you are. Yeah,
that's good to know.
Yeah.
So Alex doesn't know exactly what's going to happen, but something's going to happen.
Mm.
And then it turns out that Iran has decided to launch missiles at U.S. bases in Qatar.
Okay.
Reuters now reporting, CIA, MI6, Iran launches 6 missiles towards U.S. bases in Qatar. The fact that Qatar went on lockdown and closed its airspace first, hours and hours ago, and that now that's where the missiles are going, points towards a backroom deal for face saving, and the Iranians may be getting ready to capitulate. I'm not saying that's about to happen. And if Trump can pull this off, I'll still be pissed off that he went back on what he said he would do for the first time pretty much ever. And it means the neocons can manipulate us in the future. But Trump's argument is that'll be a show of strength to the Russians and the Chinese. But if these missiles do not hit the base, the big giant air base we have there, then it means that the mullahs have choked, at least for now.
So Iran launched missiles at a U.S. base in Qatar in retaliation for Trump's strike, and it went about how one might expect. U.S. air defense is pretty competent, so the missiles were mostly intercepted. To minimize civilian casualties, Iran warned Qatar, and Trump even said that he got early notice, and then called the attack, quote, very weak, and was glad that Iran, quote, got it all out of their system. In the sense that it didn't turn into an all-out war, that's a positive, but it's still really crazy kinds of brinksmanship, and Qatar definitely wasn't happy about it.
Mm.
After the attack, Trump said that Iran and Israel had agreed to a ceasefire, which seemed to be a surprise to Iran. They hadn't agreed, but were willing to not retaliate if Israel stopped their attacks,
yeah.
And this peace held for a matter of hours before there were accusations flying in both directions of attacks. Trump got all mad about it and said, quote, we basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Mm.
And he said that both sides violated the ceasefire, but it was back in effect and everything was fine.
Great.
So things are fine.
I mean, it is nice to hear the first honest thing he said about the Middle East, which is, yeah, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. So that's fair. That's nice to we're all in agreement there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's right the way he means it, but
probably not. Probably not.
There's an interpretation.
But there's a larger sense of this is not going well, and if it was, we wouldn't be here.
Shit's bad.
Yeah.
So Alex covers this news of the attack of Iran responding, attacking this base in Qatar.
Yeah.
And I noticed that his sourcing is interesting.
Hmm.
We are back live into hour number two. There are reported, and we see the video. Ongoing attacks with ballistic missiles over the main U.S. military, Navy, and Air Force base in the Middle East, Qatar. All the other bases are on alert. There's reports of missiles coming in and hitting bases in Iraq. We are tracking that as it unfolds. We're getting a Nick Swartor post with a corporate media report that they're saying that none of the missiles, according to the Pentagon, hit any of the U.S. bases. We don't know that's because the Patriot battery stopped them or because the Iranians, as they did in 2020, fired them into the desert or in an unpopulated area.
I want to bring sharp attention to what's going on here. Alex is covering this unfolding situation where there may be a world war starting, and the source he's pointing to is something that Nick Sortor posted on Twitter. If you're watching Alex's show, then you might just think to yourself, I can just follow Nick Sortor on Twitter and get the exact same information that Alex has. This show really is just watching a guy read Twitter and say, I knew that was going to happen. And at a certain point, you can just cut out the middleman. You can read Twitter yourself and tell yourself that you knew that that was going to happen and get about the same kind of juice out of it.
Yep.
But if you go a step deeper, you'll notice that Nick Sortor's tweet is just him posting a clip from the corporate news. If you wanted all of the information that's available here, you could just watch the corporate news.
Hmm.
You're just getting the exact same product, with just with layers of bullshit editorial spin added on top of it by people who are desperate to pretend that they're not just stealing content from actual journalists.
Yeah.
Without the corporate news actually doing the work here, Nick wouldn't have this clip to post on his Twitter with his narrative attached, and then Alex wouldn't have a tweet to cover on his show. They should tip CNN, is what I'm saying. They deserve a cut. It's pathetic the way that these people just they rely on the thing that they decry so much.
Yeah, I guess they're just parasites, really. Mm. You know, like they don't make anything. They just try and extract what value and wealth they can while everybody else waits for them to die, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
Fucking lying media. The lies of the lying media now, the corporate media, is in this post from Nick Sortor.
Like, we needed Bob Saget back in the day because people had to videotape things on an actual magnetic thing and then send it in the mail to another human being who would value it, and then maybe it would make it on TV. We needed that. Mm-hmm. We don't need that now. There's no point in Saget here, and Alex is basically the Saget of bullshit Nazism.
Well, but the problem is that there's a difference between someone getting hit in the head with a football and news.
Sure.
There's entertainment value even if you fake a home video, an America's Funniest Home Video.
Mm.
So that's fine. If you just have any random ding-dong just sending videos in, you're going to end up with a lot of like Sasquatch news.
Yep.
And that's why Nick Sortor relies on the mainstream media to actually do the work of journalism.
Sure.
And he can take their things, so it's not just a bunch of Sasquatch videos.
Mm.
Anyway, Alex, I think that there's an indication here of why, like, he shouldn't cover breaking news.
Right.
It's just not a good thing for him to do.
Any number of reasons, but yes.
And I think this clip highlights some of it.
Reports of 3 direct hits on the airbase in Qatar. Al, you need. Well, that's not good news if that's true. let's hear the audio of that clip when you get it ready. Boy, I hope that's not true.
Great. I hope that's not true.
I would like more news anchors to receive breaking news and just go, well, shit. Fuck me. That sounds terrifying. I hope that's not true. Right. Anyways, we'll see you right next after Target commercials.
Here's the thing I saw on Twitter. Hope that's bullshit. Oh, boy.
Hope that's not true. Anyways, we'll see you later. Let's go to the weather.
That's not a good method of news.
It's raining outside. Not outside my house. I hope that's not true.
Mm-hmm. I think that there's a reason that you want a little bit of neutrality, professionalism.
Maybe a little detachment even.
Right, yeah. Out of a person who may be reporting breaking news. Discipline is key.
Yeah.
So Alex is just reading Twitter, and I realize that a lot of this content is just him stressing himself out reading tweets.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. There's no need for this.
Bahrain and Kuwait bases now have active air sirens going off. Now, is that in response to thinking they may be about to strike, or is this accurate? Nick Sortor is almost always accurate. He tracks everything.
Is he?
The Iranian government is now saying it fired the same amount of missiles at U.S. assets as bombs the U.S. dropped on them. Well, they dropped how many of the big bunker busters? 15 total on the 3 different sites. But then there was also, 20-something cruise missiles? So do the math, that would be... So if this is accurate, and it's order, you know, only goes off what the Iranians are saying, then it would look like this is a face-saving situation. And again, if you're a new listener and just tuned in, Trump is on record, and the Iranians confirmed it, was all face-saving in 2020 over the Soleimani getting killed when they launched those 18 missiles at the base in Iraq and had them a couple miles away hit sand dunes. I don't know. But if they hit real targets and people get killed, you know Trump's going to escalate. And that means they've decided to escalate. And last week when he gave them 2 weeks, they said, nope, screw you. So that's why he went ahead and greenlit it. And I said on Thursday, I said, I don't believe they're going to back down at this point. So I don't know. I am on the edge of my seat. This is absolute torture.
Man. So stop. You don't need to do this. This is not like, why, but why, it's fascinating to me. This show, this exact show,
yeah,
is such an interesting snapshot because it is just a guy kind of making himself nervous.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
There isn't information that's being added to the, like, you're not getting good analysis of Qatar, Iran, Israel, Trump, any of it.
Yep.
You're just watching a guy kind of be like, maybe the world's going to blow up. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's face saving. Maybe we're all dead, but maybe we're not. Who knows? Let's check Nick Sartor's Twitter.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Okay. All right. So listening to this feels like if I'm watching a mouse, right? And it's programmed. If it presses a button, it'll get a little shock. And at first you're like, oh, this shock is I don't like it, but it keeps pressing the button. And then it never stops pressing the button because the only thing that it lives for is the tiny little shock. That one little shock gets it to the next little shock. And that is what it feels like listening to Alex Jones. Mm. Like he's just going like, oh, they're doing this. Ah! Okay, next
another,
one.
Give me another tweet.
They're doing this.
Give me another tweet. Give me another tweet.
They're doing this. But then tomorrow, none of it happened.
No.
Right? Like, What are you doing?
I don't know. I mean, the Civil War is still looming in the background. Alex is not, he doesn't care about that.
God damn it. Take your daughter fishing for once.
It'd be nice.
Jesus.
So, I think a lot of this is Twitter. He's obviously just scrolling Twitter, finding things that work, and then responding to them.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, more intel is coming in.
Okay.
And that's very exciting.
All right.
But it's still taking shape.
Hmm.
So Alex needs to do a plug, and then he'll get to that intel.
I fucking hate this world.
Got some more intel coming in. Let me go to something very, very important for your future and the future of this operation. If you'll just listen to me and try it, you'll absolutely get it and be addicted because it's so good for you and so amazing. I've got some incredibly powerful, important news here in just a moment we're going to get to. It's still coming in. But let me just stop there. Right now, biggest sale yet ever on ultramethylene blue, both the capsule, supercharged with vitamin C, and the liquid tincture, both the exact same highest quality medical grade, USP, ultramethylene blue. Get one bottle of the capsules or the liquid already discounted, and you can get another free bottle, even though supplies are running low. I want those of you that already love it to be able to stop.
Sounds true.
Those of you that love a great deal to try it because you're going to be blown away what it does to your skin, your stamina, your energy, your libido, your whole life, cleaning out your mitochondria. It's just the game changer. I'd had other USP before. It didn't hardly do anything. I guess people are saying it's USP and it's not. We got the top place that actually makes it for medical firms as their main thing. And it's out of Florida. And it's incredible. So get that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That deal's running until Sunday. The Ultra Methylene Blue Super Sale, the biggest yet. You can lock in 50% off on all future orders of Methylene Blue when you subscribe. You can cancel any time in your profile, but it locks in as long as you want it. 50% off any future order, you get that. So take advantage now, thealexjonesstore.com. All right. The crew keeps telling me, hey, you might want to give the number out, boss, if you're going to take calls. Oh, yes. I'm just a little distracted with the air attacks and how important it is.
Oh. I'll
give you the big news in a moment. I'm still collating it. Bring in that Mario Nafal information, please. These guys are the best at just scooping all the latest data, my crew and them as well. But I'm still collating the good news I just got, hoping it is good. It's looking good. It's looking good. It's looking good.
It's looking good.
Is it looking good?
Yeah, because Trump or Alex has seen another tweet from Mario Nafal that he's like, this is good. This is his other intel. His other intel that's coming in is another guy on Twitter.
This is horrifying.
It is.
This is horrifying.
It is. It's so stupid. Now, if you want to be driven crazy,
yes,
to the point where you're going to jump off the balcony.
I do.
Okay. Listen to Alex say this.
Okay.
Because during the break, I was looking at some of the comments on X, going through videos, and seeing, because I love to see what people say, and I find lots of intel I wouldn't have thought of. And they're like, what's Jones talking about? What do you mean Trump made a deal with Iran to do limited strikes? That's made up. I just, dealing with the level of the public that is just now getting politically involved and militarily informed, it's like talking to two-year-olds. Or it's like you're an auto mechanic that's been doing it 50 years, you're a master mechanic, and then somebody comes in that has never any mechanic work, and you're telling them how things work, and they're like, you don't know that? Why? How do you know how that works? It's frustrating people.
Yeah, people are stupid on Twitter. That's what you're going to find when you do. All you do is like cruise around on Twitter, try and find hot tweets, find comments on tweets to try and give yourself an angle you can steal for something, get some intel. Of course, you're going to run into a bunch of stupid people saying stupid shit.
Yeah.
Why would a 50-year-old man be complaining about this?
I mean, it's not unlike, oh man, everybody to these places I go to, they're all fucking demons. They're all a bunch of assholes. Every time I go to these places, they're all a bunch of assholes. Now, admittedly, I only go to hell. That could be, I could have something to do with it. I could be going to a place where only the thing that I'm complaining about exists.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I shouldn't be on comment boards.
Everybody at this Klan rally is a fucking racist.
Bunch of racists up in here.
I'm just interested in their tax policy.
This person over here, he's got good intel, but he's got his face covered with the mask.
I think that this is just so sad. And what I love about this is, the stakes of what's going on is that Trump has bombed Iran,
yep,
and Iran is responding.
Right.
So there is a real tension point right here in the world, in the real world.
Yeah.
And Alex's show, as he's covering this, is just dicking around on Twitter and then whining about how people don't respect him enough on Twitter,
yep,
and how people are dumb on, yep, Twitter. It's pathetic. The juxtaposition of this really highlights how stupid he is.
It feels like he uses the YouTube comments as his thumb sucking. He's sucking his thumb. There's a lot of stuff going on. He's anxious, but also he's happy now. But also he could be anxious at any moment again. News can change that fast.
Right.
Right? So he goes to the comment sections to hear people go like, you were right all the time, Alex. And he's like, yeah, I was right all the time. But then sometimes people go, what the fuck are you talking about? And then not even his thumb sucking helps him anymore.
Yeah.
This is sad.
I think that's there's a part of it that is that self-soothing.
Yeah.
And then I think that there's another part of it that is kind of a dark reflection of the way that the media, you know, needs to make a horse race out,
sure,
of an election.
Sure.
It has to be 50-50,
right,
even if you're reporting on things honestly. It should not be.
Yeah, we shouldn't even be talking about it. Let's face it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The media requires that, or else it becomes like you're obviously too biased or,
right,
whatever.
Never gone wrong before.
So the dark reflection of that for Alex is that simultaneously, Iran has to be nuking us,
yeah,
and it's face saving.
Yeah.
Both of these things have to be 50-50 true, or else, like, what is the show? If Iran isn't doing anything, then Trump is in bed with this kind of war,
right,
theater.
Right.
That's not good.
No.
If you land on that.
No.
And the other side of it is they're not coordinating.
Mm-mm.
And Iran is about to nuke all
you
of the
U.S. Really be terrified.
All the sleeper cells are about,
absolutely,
to be activated in the United
Your
States.
Your mom's dead.
Both of these things have to be true because both have to be false.
Yes.
And Alex needs, like, he needs that. And that's what's preserved by, like, let's go on Twitter and find intel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I've found a lot of people like to read books, you know, instead of just scrolling through Twitter.
Yeah.
As far as information is concerned. But, well, maybe I'm wrong.
That's because it's actually, like, I don't know. On the scale of information to not information, information,
yeah,
is better than not information.
Tends to be. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that there's a little bit of a infuriating element to Alex complaining about how stupid people are on Twitter when he's just stealing Twitter shit to,
oh, yeah,
yell about on a show.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, as his words were.
But,
yeah,
when he starts complaining about Ted Cruz because of he did that interview with Tucker,
right,
and embarrassed himself by not knowing the population of Iran and various other things.
Sure.
Alex says something about Ted Cruz that he should punch himself.
Let's hear it.
Okay, I want to show one more thing, and I'm going to your calls, because this just shows the mindlessness and the propaganda of people like Ted Cruz. When Tucker Carlson interviewed him last week, and was like, do you know about their weapon systems? You know about their population? You know about who the alliances are? He's like, I don't need to know any of that. I just know they're bad. Well, do you know their population? No. Well, it's three times the size of Iraq, three times the population. And Ted Cruz post, Tucker Carlson interviewing Luke Skywalker, what is the population of the Death Star? And Jay Dyer says, Ted Cruz has to appeal to his evangelical boomer audience using children's sci-fi because that's the maturity level of evangelical boomers. It really is.
So leaving aside the very obvious.
Sorry. What were you going to say? You were going to say something was very obvious.
Was that your Chewbacca impression?
It could have been. I mean, I've been so puerile and infantile to make a children's sci-fi reference that I wouldn't do it.
I mean, this is really him insulting his own audience and his own methodology, devastatingly. I think that there's something deeply, deeply, obviously awful about that. But also, let's think about this for a second. What is Alex doing? He's reporting on something Jay Dyer tweeted about something Ted Cruz tweeted about an interview Tucker did.
Yep.
This is like fourth-hand coverage of an editorial interview.
Yep.
This is crazy.
It is.
They're so obsessed with Twitter.
The idea is essentially supposed to be, I am creating, or not creating, but I am curating the information that you receive. Thus, I am in control of the conversation. The conversation that you have will be based around the information that I give you.
Mm.
If you all, I guess, subsume that into, well, now I'm just another person on Twitter. I just have you can just watch me.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike other people on Twitter who tweet things and you have to read those words, I am going to tweet things at Twitter and you can see me. That's not anything. That's nothing. That's emptiness.
No, and I think that the way that I would compare it is like, okay, at the bottom of this is an interview that Tucker Carlson did with Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
If you're covering Jay Dyer tweeting something Ted Cruz tweeted about the interview itself, like, you don't know what happened in that interview. You don't know that you can't really speak competently or anything about the actual interview.
Yeah.
In the same way that I could tell you Immanuel Kant sucks.
Sure.
You don't know anything, but you could just say, hey, he sucks.
Yeah, he does.
You don't know anything about Kant, though, from me telling you he sucks.
Yeah, I know he sucks.
The primary piece of it you still have no familiarity with.
Right.
You're getting no actual information except for, I think Kant sucks.
Sure.
Alex is just reporting to us that Jay Dyer thinks Ted Cruz sucks.
Yep.
And that Jay Dyer apparently thinks the way that Alex talks to his own audience is infantile.
Yep. And even back in the day when Twitter was Twitter, the Twitter that we remember from things, right? Mm-hmm. It would still be too late. You're already fourth in line for the conversation's already gone. The conversation's moved on.
Yeah.
You're too late. What are you doing wasting your own time?
Mm.
Ugh.
So Alex is talking about this Jay Dyer tweet about Ted Cruz's tweet about Tucker's interview.
I want to explode.
Yeah.
I want to just explode. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
You might like this then. This might be a soothing balm for you.
A soothing balm.
Yeah. Because Alex says something that I think is the one of the craziest things he's ever said on air.
All right.
And if, I mean.
I took a shower this morning.
No, it's crazier.
Tucker spent years and years in the Middle East. That's been his beat. And when he was 17, sent down to Iran-Contra to be with the Contras by his dad, high-level CIA. And then Tucker got refused entry into the CIA. But the point is that he's been working for the guys, the bad guys, but he admits he woke up 15 years ago and is now on our team and came to town 14 years ago to apologize to me. He's on our team 100%.
Wait, so Tucker is CIA?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
He just outed a CIA agent.
How insane could you possibly be? My God.
Yeah, so if any of that's true, Alex should probably be killed, right? I mean, like, he's if Tucker is a CIA agent, Alex has blown his cover.
Right.
Alex has committed
I guess.
Arguably treason.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't you remember what happened with Valerie Plame?
Right. Okay. Right. But if I'm the CIA, right, and Alex Jones has outed an agent, I go like, well, this is the best job I've ever taken. Sure, I'm a CIA agent. It doesn't help your case if I am or I am not.
You mean if you're Tucker?
No, yeah, if you're Alex. If Alex is calling you a CIA agent and you are a CIA agent, you're like, yeah, then, yeah, come on. What does it matter?
Right.
You can't do anything to me.
Well, yeah, the source that this is coming from is not, you're not endangered by this.
Oh my God!
This revelation.
What? But even so, even if your idea is this guy was recruited into the CIA
as
wink,
a child,
wink, he was rejected, wink, wink,
yeah,
into the CIA, and then he comes to me.
And he apologizes.
Okay, first off, let's go with just how many layers of... Okay, he was rejected, which to you means that he was accepted.
Yeah.
Right? So he apologized, which to you should mean he is still in the CIA manipulating you.
Yeah.
Right?
You'd have to be pretty fucking dumb to not think that, like, oh, this person is running a game.
You're the least trustworthy person in the world if you're Tucker and you're also lying about being a CIA agent.
And, his dad was high level. It's
absolutely
a generational thing.
Absolutely.
It's something that he's been in since he was a kid when he was sent to Iran-Contra.
I mean, like even if I think of Tucker as an untrustworthy person, even without him also having an underlying lie that controls everything he does.
Yeah. Yep.
So then to add on top of that, the like, oh, and also he's probably an agent of the government who's been tracking me and following me for my entire adult career.
Tucker's my handler.
Right? How is that not what he just said? You are saying that as if it was a joke, but I think one-to-one, that could be distilled as to what he literally just said.
No, it's not, but it's the kind of thing that a conspiratorial brain would come up with having heard that. If you believe these things are true and you're like, hey, what's going on here? Like, in the same way that Alex says that his dad was, like, in MK Ultra.
Sure.
It's like, okay, you know that the conspiratorial angle on this is going to be that are the child of Mengele.
I'm just saying that it's reasonable if I have a friend who I think joined the CIA and is lying to me about it, is literally coming to me and lying to me about it. How do I then go like, oh, well, this apology is honest?
I think the implication here is that Alex is pretending that Tucker has told him that he's CIA. So he's,
right.
Tucker's not lying to him.
Right. But
he's lying to everybody else.
But that's part of the manipulation because he's in the CIA. You can't trust him.
Yeah. No. Here's what I struggle with. I don't think this happened. I mean, I know that Tucker did come to Austin and do an interview with Alex where they sort of settled their beef.
Sure.
A bit in advance of Trump. Like,
yeah.
It was before that.
Sure.
So I know that that did happen, what, yeah, Alex is referring to as he came and apologized to me.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a revelation of him being CIA. I don't think that part is real. But if it did happen,
yeah,
if he's telling the truth or if he's lying, Tucker, in that situation,
yeah,
don't trust him.
Yeah.
You can't.
You cannot.
Because if he's lying to you, then there's a reason he's lying to you about being in the CIA. He,
exactly,
has some kind of agenda.
Absolutely.
If he's not lying to you and that he is in the CIA,
right,
then this telling you it is probably
part of the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is a layer of the whole thing. There's, yeah, only one thing.
Either way, Alex is really good at respecting privacy, keeping secrets.
Here's a problem that I have that I feel like keeps popping up. Is Iran-Contra does not seem to be a problem at all to anybody anymore. It is just a historical thing that happened. Mm-hmm. It's not like, hey, the people involved were lying and the whole thing and it's against the law and all this stuff and they never face consequences for it.
Peace, Larry Nichols.
Yeah. R.I.P., buddy. Hard rice and soft rice.
And also, Larry Nichols. The Iran-Contra has become like MK Ultra.
Yeah.
It's become such a generalized term that, like, what are you even talking about?
They sold guns for coke to sell for guns. I don't even know what their plan was, really.
Rice.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus Christ.
So in this next clip, Alex says something that I think will be fun to revisit later, because I think that it's fun.
It's probably going to age well.
Oh, it's going to age great.
Yeah, I bet.
And anybody saying we should shut up is very un-American. I get lots of, you need to move to wherever, you need to get out of here, you're a MAGA imposter. Yeah, right. I was fighting the New World Order, and most of you were in diapers. And we're on record with the polls. They didn't battle around states. Roger Stone's talked about it. Even the Democrats admit it's why they hate me. That my audience, you, the activist, in the battleground states, put him over the top in 2016. So we took Trump, this broadcast, you. It's not just me. Literally, it's you. You carried Trump over the finish line into the end zone. He belongs to us.
He's ours.
Oh, boy.
He's ours. I take credit for me and my audience made him the president. We installed him, and thank God he's going to reveal everything about Epstein. Yeah.
Yes, we got him elected, something that I am proud to say, despite knowing and in fact having a best friend who was convicted of tampering with said election that we were in charge of and take responsibility for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool. This is not going to be something that might become a little bit of an anchor around his neck.
I mean, I just want to associate myself with the guy who does everything I say he's not doing.
So Alex does take some calls, and he gets a call from a guy who's like, I think Trump might be a lizard person.
I'm in. I think lizard people conspiracies, it's time they come back.
Yeah. So this guy is like, this is not the same Trump. He's been taken over.
Fantastic.
Right? And I think something clicks inside Alex's mind.
All right.
That he's like, I think this works, actually.
We got a walk-in? We got a fake Trump? We got a walk-in Trump? Yeah. All right, now we're talking. Kick this into a new gear.
Yeah, so Alex decides maybe, you know,
maybe they've replaced Trump.
Yeah, man, let's see what we can do with this.
All right.
I've been thinking about saying this, and I'm not held back on it because I'm hiding something. I've known about this for a while, and I've got more information on it. And you pretty much have already seen what I'm talking about. Once I say it, you'll know everything because you already knew it. But Trump is not a bad person.
This one isn't.
But under all the incredible pressure he's been put under, there are different types of people. And there are people, the more you mess with them, the stronger they get. And the meaner they get. And instead of cracking down, they kind of crack up. Not crack up like in pieces. They transform. And Trump, you know, is way calmer, way more focused. Seems like he doesn't care in these press conferences. He doesn't care when the media attacks him anymore. He literally got to the point of not giving a F, is what you heard last year in July. And all the pressure on his family and all the endless hours and all the work. And he definitely is a different person. And I've had it described to me by people very close to him. And let's just say he is beyond confident at this point. He was already really confident before, but Trump thinks he's invincible. There you have it. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because
what do you think?
It's bad.
You
know,
cultivate this idea of being dangerous and reckless and hard to be predicted, unpredictable.
That's bad. That's bad. So this caller had called in and talked about, like, maybe lizard person, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And Alex is tiptoeing here.
Yeah.
He's saying Trump's a different person.
Maybe he's been transformed.
Changed.
Yes.
He's changed. Yeah. He's calm. He feels like he's invincible, which all of these things sound megalomaniacal and like we should probably 51-50 the president.
No. That doesn't sound true at all.
But I thought, okay, Alex is, when I was listening to this, the impression that I got was Alex is trying to smooth off the rough edges of what this caller has just said. He's trying to make it like, all right, we're not going to go lizard person.
Yeah.
But we're going to go with something along the lines of Trump has a different energy.
Sure.
Something shifted.
Sure.
Maybe they kidnapped his dog or something like that. Who knows? You know, it seems like it's still within the realm of, like, not supernatural.
It seems, now, maybe I'm just boring. Maybe I'm just boring. Maybe I'm lazy.
Okay.
Because it feels to me like the low-hanging fruit is I wouldn't ask anybody Trump's age to do anything, let alone run the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He is, yeah.
I wouldn't be like, hey, could you go down to the store and grab something very light within your ability to count? No, I can go do that myself. I definitely don't want you to run the whole world.
Yeah, it's he should be relaxing in his later years.
Yeah, you know, go like, another place.
It's not. This is not the time for that. That's true. What if now?
Yeah.
This is gonna be tough to hear.
Yeah.
What if Trump has been engaging too much with the flesh?
Do I think Trump has been taking a godly amount of Viagra to fuck as many strange women as he possibly can?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, your mind's in the gutter.
Oh, I am.
When you engage with the flesh,
okay,
it's not engaging with the spiritual enough.
All right.
Not being like connected with God. You are just your meat.
So is he drinking too many Diet Cokes?
Probably.
Okay. That sounds right.
I don't know. But he's doing that, and that might have ended up getting him a demon.
And it's such a big thing. I need to write notes about it. I've been thinking about it for a month. I've been thinking about talking about this. But the reason I haven't talked about it is I don't know what I think about it yet. Because it's such a big deal. Like, I'm going to go to break and come back. I don't want to liken myself this, because you've all been through it. Under the attacks, under the demonization, under my family being attacked, all the things that went on, I was just kind of fighting the globalists, doing my job, believing in humanity, but never wanted to really turn on the juice and really be aggressive. It was almost like it was embarrassing to me if I really leveled up. And I just made the decision in the last year to level up. And now I knew what would happen. Now it's happening again. And now my discernment and my aggression and my prowess is intensifying. And I can see where this goes. It's not satanic, but it's the flesh. And the satanic can interface with the flesh when you turn on too much of your innate berserker, barbarian, Viking power. And I'll just say it. That's what it is. So it's very dangerous. And you can tell Trump's jacked into the Holy Spirit more than ever and the flesh more than ever. It's quite the mix.
What?
Thank God he's not using Star Wars analogies. he's talking like real mature intellectual stuff. Like, yeah.
You know, there's that old, you know, like whatever gets you there. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thought. Listen, I'm not going to take you on this trip. You got to get there. And as long as we wind up in the same place, that's fine. You know, like, but that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. This is not getting there.
It's pretty dumb.
Nope.
So as a rule, I would say if you hear someone talking like that, what Alex is getting into, you can walk away.
Oh,
nothing good is coming after that. Like, you're not going to get some profound insight just after.
Here's the thing. Let me just make it clear for you. If you're into the flesh, which Trump is super into, then you're going to have a demon. But Trump is also super into the Holy Spirit, and he's super into the flesh, which we know means he has a demon. So he's got 100% Holy Spirit and 100% demon in him simultaneously. And that way I can do whatever I want to do tomorrow.
Sure.
Yeah.
As for Alex here, I think this is a really good call. On June 23rd, it does look like the situation with Iran hasn't blown up, and the retaliatory strikes they did were mostly a face-saving measure, so the emergency is de-escalated. But Trump still bombed them, which is pretty impossible to justify to the audience, so Alex is still in hot water with that. The clock ticking, that's gone. But Alex has to realize that this thread is still untangling for Trump, and he doesn't want to just go down with the ship. Alex is planting seeds here that he can try to grow later if he wants, with these very subtle suggestions that maybe Trump has been possessed by a demon. If it's possible that Trump's got a demon in him, then the status quo of supporting Trump can be maintained. But if you have to bail at some point, you could just find that little bit of evidence that you were missing that shows that he's possessed. Alex is even trying to give this some credibility by backdating this shit, pretending that he's been thinking about talking about it for a month. This is a great narrative. It's got supernatural intrigue, it allows Alex to ditch Trump if things get too hard, and there's zero commitment. He can just never bring this up again, and no one will call him on it because it sounds fucking silly to ask for clarification about a demon theory.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is like, okay, well, if this feels good to say, I can develop this later if I want, but then I can also just pretend I didn't do it.
I mean, yeah, let's just do a full reboot. Say that Trump got taken over comic book style by a symbiote or whatever it is.
A George Bush demon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Done. Moving on. Now we can get rid of Trump, but we can still say that everything Trump did believe in
and
used
the last
to stand
decade
for.
Was not a waste of our
absolutely
time.
Absolutely not.
We
a waste
were
of time.
Not wrong to
we
do
weren't
these
conned.
Things.
We weren't conned at
no.
all. No, everything worked out exactly the way we wanted it to until this moment when he was possessed by the demon of George W. Bush.
Right.
Is he dead yet?
Deus ex Bushina.
Oh, God. I can't believe he's still alive.
This actually, ironically, this caller called in and was saying crazy dumb shit.
Yeah.
But it's
the smartest thing to say.
Yes.
Yes, it's crazy dumb shit, but it is indeed the smartest thing to say.
Well, because, like, there's no standards.
There's
for
no
Alex's
rules.
Show.
Yeah, there's
like,
no rules.
You can get away with just about whatever you want.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. So no. this solves a lot of the literary problems, the sort of narrative problems that Alex has.
And it's the judo of, like, how do we get off this train? Aha, we get him off the train.
Right.
Great.
With the demon.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom,
done.
Baby.
Now the train is out.
Perfect.
Yep.
So Alex talks a little bit about this energy, mm-hmm. this demon stuff that might...
Demon that might have possessed Donald J. Trump. Who's chosen by God? You're chosen by God. God King.
All plans of mice and men. And,
how is this how God works?
I don't know.
Okay.
But Alex does cite a scholar at the end of this.
Okay.
And I'm not saying it's even satanic energy. It's more of just man's tightness will that you can activate. And you got to be careful with it because I've gone through some similar things, nothing compared to this yet. And instead of giving up, I just decided to overcome it and defeat it. And then it just turns on all these primal energies that can swerve into devil territory. So you can you feel the Holy Spirit more and you feel the evil more. It's very metaphysical.
Is it?
That's what it is. It's not like putting on the Ring of Mordor, but it gets close. So here's a clip of Mike Tyson explaining it. When God favors you, so's the devil.
When you're favored by God, you're also favored by the devil. He's coming for you, too. So you just got to be strong and stay on the right side. Whose side you going to go on? He's going to give you power, too. He's going to get in your head, too. But it's whose side you're going to stay with. You stay with who brought you here. You go home with the guy that brought you to the dance.
And he goes on to talk about, I could win any of these fights, but I had to literally, the devil on my shoulder, say don't do it, or I would have killed these people.
Would you like to lick this toad?
I would like more conversation-ending situations to involve. And now listen to this as Mike Tyson explains it.
Yeah.
That's grand.
Now listen to me. The president might be getting too into the flesh, and that leads him to be open to demon possession.
Let's
for
hear
more,
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
It'd be great if I was in like if you know that day you're in sixth grade class and the substitute teacher gives you like a little primer and then is like, and now for more, Bill Nye is going to explain how to make this little experiment.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Mike Tyson is for in 2025.
Right. Certain people can control the weather through magic. For more on that. Bam Bam Bigelow.
Boom. Here we go. Let's see. What do you got?
Okay.
All right. Why not make random figures correspondents for all kinds of random things?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And now our expert on trees, fucking Johnny Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
He's a real... Yeah, I mean, why not?
Humans are able to teleport. You just aren't allowing yourself to do so. For more on the story, we go to... The Junkyard Dog. I don't know. I'm trying to think of another old pro wrestler.
Yeah, I know. I just keep going back to weird, like, never mind.
La Parka. So, Alex is like, hey, man, we might have a demon Trump on our hands.
Right, of course.
And you know whose fault it is?
Kissinger?
The left.
Oh,
and
what?
I'm telling you, when you get power, whatever you want to call it, that's metaphysical, and here he is, the most powerful person in the world that's been through all these trials. The whole world, even his enemies, admiring. Trump is on quite a trip. You can call it what you want, but he's got to be careful and he's got to be humble because this is the stuff of danger we're dealing with. We'll be right back. Hey, the left doing this helped create him. How do you feel now, fools?
Fools? You fools?
I think this is excellent. This is actually something that we should all be very grateful for. And everybody listening should keep this clip available with you, okay? Mm-hmm. Because anytime somebody in the future may have some sort of argument like, oh, well, let's make this compromise with them now because, no, wrong. Wrong. It doesn't matter. It is your fault because they don't like you because they can't deal with themselves. Mm-hmm. There will never, anything that Trump does will never be their fault. It will always be our fault despite telling them not to do it.
Yeah. And if Trump disappoints, then it's our fault for not going along with him or something.
Absolutely.
Accidentally created demon Trump.
It would have. Trump would have been great if you guys would have been nicer to him.
Right.
But now look at us. Now we all have to suffer through this demon who isn't doing the thing that you told me he was going to do.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, this is stupid. Like, this kind of, like, why did you have to be so mean to him? And you ended up creating this negative outcome. Like, if I really wanted to play that game, which I absolutely don't.
Yeah.
I think I would just be like, okay, then Alex caused the Iraq war by saying that Bush did 9/11.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. This is stupid.
No, I mean, I feel Pilot. I feel Pontius Pilate so hard now. Just like that idea of like, you know what? Yeah, you guys, you can solve this problem. Hey, whatever you want to do. I don't care. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I don't feel that way because I know the consequences that are going to come are going to hurt a lot of people who don't deserve to get hurt. And I don't trust people like Alex and them to solve a problem.
I would be surprised if they could.
Yeah. If they all lived in a bubble and they were fighting, I would say I don't really care.
Sure.
But because it affects so many other people, it's...
Hold on. So what you have just admitted is that you're on board with my bubble idea.
I don't think your bubble idea is an idea.
We put them in a bubble.
Right. That doesn't... It's not a thing we can take steps towards.
Sure. There's, I mean, giant bubble.
Yeah, I just... The logistics...
They had a biodome?
That was a movie.
We got at least two people in one.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was a Baldwin. We could get all the Baldwins in a bigger biodome.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout this show, the tension has been, is Iran's response attack real?
Yeah.
Or is it posture?
Yeah.
And it seems like we've settled on to it's just face saving. They're going through the motions.
Sure.
But Alex just saw another tweet.
Oh, bad news. See, I said I thought it just wouldn't be.
Bad news.
I was wrong.
Well, it's all over.
It was retaliation in response to U.S. attacks. Senior Iranian official tells Reuters. But they did call the military and say the missiles are coming, and they did say they don't want to expand the war, and Trump just said he wanted that. So let's hope. I think this is all up in the air. You heard me first hour saying I don't think this is a kabuki theater like before. Because this is so much more kinetic, so much bigger. Israel being flattened, Iran being flattened, Russia talking about, you know, North Korea giving nukes to them. But we're in a whole nother ball game here, folks. So here I am celebrating as it's all over the news that Iran's backing down and then this. But I don't trust Reuters as far as I can throw it. Remember, they run wide-scale deception campaigns on the public.
So this is a roller coaster. I don't know what anybody is meant to think about anything. So I just think you're at a state where it's like, I don't know what Alex is saying.
He's in the little Treehouse of Horror Simpsons, like, but it comes with ice cream. That's good news. But the ice cream is cursed. That's bad news. Like, we're just going to be doing this forever. Mm-hmm. We're just going to be going back and forth with reasons why the same thing happening is good or bad and feeling ways about it.
Yeah. And it makes you feel trapped. It makes you feel like, do I take the ice cream or do I not?
Can I go?
Can I go about my life, or should I be worried that Iran is about to nuke me?
You can, but you should also be worried about whether or not...
Okay, so now I need to learn more. Are you going to tell me more?
I can't, but I'm also going to.
I got intel coming in. By that, I mean I saw a tweet.
Jesus Christ.
So this leads to a return of an energy that we haven't gotten to see in Alex in a while.
Yeah.
And I for one, enjoy it.
Okay.
All right, here's the big news, and then we're going right to your phone calls. Iran fires missiles at U.S. air bases in Qatar. Doha says attacks intercepted, no casualties. Iran says it reserves all options on response to outrageous U.S. strikes. Iran, Israel, live. Iran says launch missiles to U.S. air base in Qatar, Iraq on alert. Well, that's not what I needed. We're going to go to rebroadcast for a while. It's fine. I'm cool with it. I understand it. was 15 minutes ago. It's Reuters that Iran says they're going to keep shooting the missiles. I just have to have it. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. I'm going to take a break for a while. I hit my maximum overload here today. So that's just where we are right now. I'm going to have to deal with this.
It's cool. It's cool. I'm cool. Everything's cool. Everything's great.
Alex, as your producer, I just want to point out that you have done this all entirely to yourself.
Yeah.
Just in case you were wondering.
And I was thinking about why this energy reemerged. We haven't really seen him do I Gotta Go to Rebroadcast.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And I think that to understand it, one of the ways that I helped conceive of it in my brain is like Alex is kind of a prop comic. A prop comic is a comedian whose act relies on physical props, without which their punchlines wouldn't make sense. If you're a prop comic and you've been building towards a punchline and when it's time to pull out the prop, your assistant has packed the wrong thing, it's going to affect your performance.
Yeah.
You definitely can't just tell the joke like you planned, and you might want to storm off stage. Alex is trying to tell a complex story on this episode, which has a bunch of ups and downs, and he needs his props to be able to navigate it.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is supposed to be that Trump means well, but his advisors convinced him that attacking Iran was the best thing to do for world peace. In response to that attack, Iran could do a face-saving symbolic attack or a full-on attack that would indicate that this is the beginning of a world war. The tension that's powering this show is that is it real or is it theater question, which has more or less been resolved by this point. Qatar and Trump have said that they had advance warning of Iran's attack, which is a strong indication that this was face-saving. For Alex to continue telling this story, there needs to be ambiguity, and if that doesn't exist on its own, he needs to create it. He needs this prop in order to maintain the will-they-won't-they energy on the show, and that's why he blows up at the staff when they give him the wrong thing. The old bit of information, that is like Trump knew, Qatar knew that Iran was going to shoot these missiles, that's the old bit of the roller coaster track.
Sure.
That's going down.
Yeah.
We need the track that leads upward, and that is this insinuation that Iran is going to continue attacking.
Yep.
And Alex understands, he played Roller Coaster Tycoon. He knows how to build this thing.
Sure.
And he can't keep going down. They can't go on that downslope. You need to bring it back up or else you're going to lose all of the momentum. And,
yeah.
And that's really what I feel when I hear him in this instance as a non-drunk person.
Right.
Having this reaction. I got to get off air.
Right.
Ugh.
Right. He's saying something like that call packed a kick, but he doesn't have a shoe that's a phone, so it sounds pretty stupid.
Sure.
Yeah.
So he does go to a special report kind of thing, and then he comes back and he's boring.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, kind of dull.
You're supposed to go away to get drunker and angrier, so when you come back, you've really got something. If you just go away and then calm down, now you feel kind of stupid because it's like, well, I could have just stayed.
Yeah. You either go away to get drunker and angrier or get your shit in order. And,
right.
And like, so you have information to report.
Right.
And he does neither. And so it's just kind of like, and I think that this I resent a great deal, kind of. I don't know if I resent it, but like, it is a day that's important.
Sure.
It's a day that matters in the world because you have the possibility of Iran continuing attacks against the U.S.
Sure.
Us reaching a point where shit is like the ball is just rolling.
Sure.
In a way that, you know, has no brakes on it. And Alex is just reading Twitter, just riffing on tweets, trying to keep the both sides of it going. That this is fine and this is the end of the world at the same time. And it's just dull.
Like, you can just trap people in that state, you know, and you can, like, it's turned into an interesting thing to watch Alex go from being the person who's trying to trap people in that state to being trapped in it himself.
Mm.
It's just like, you can see it. You can see the paralysis and the inability to even do anything. Like, he can't even do his own show.
Yeah.
Huh.
But that is contrast to like Alex having these shining moments, like when he's like, oh, maybe Trump's got a demon in him.
There's like, definitely that
I think is his brain still working and still recognizing like we got to work the angles, we got to figure out what we can do. That has the air of him being his own person as opposed to just being a Twitter recap show.
Yeah.
And I just I don't know. I wish it was more of that. I wish it was more Trump might have a demon in him and less, what did Nick Sartor say on Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah, because it really is the only thing that makes sense. If you stick in reality, you're just going to have to create more unreality to cover the fact that the reality that you wanted is complete bullshit. So fucking, he's got a demon in him. Done.
Yeah.
Move on. Skip out. Cut out the middleman.
He's got a demon in him. It's the same demon that attacked Tucker Carlson, who should kick the shit out of you for revealing that he's in the CIA.
Azrael, the CIA attacking demon that controls Trump now.
Yep.
Done.
We've
nailed the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll be back to see how this demon possession progresses.
Yep.
Or see if Alex abandons that plot line entirely.
It would be nice. It would be nice to keep it.
What if, holy shit.
Yeah.
I just got it.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Was trying to get Alex.
Yeah.
To go to Gene Hackman.
Right.
To save his soul.
Right.
And exorcise the demon that was within Gene Hackman.
Okay.
Before Gene Hackman died.
So,
and when Gene Hackman dies a natural death without exorcising the demon, the demon is unleashed and goes to Trump.
Absolutely. So not only was Alex chosen by God to save the entire world through saving Gene Hackman.
Yes.
By doing that,
by
he has destroyed. By not doing that, he has destroyed everything that he was supposed to create.
Yes, by not going to Gene Hackman like God commanded him to, this demon has run loose. It is out there and has gotten into Trump and is now going to cause World War III, a nuclear war, and it's Alex's fucking fault.
Do you know what's crazy? Of all the things that we have talked about because of Alex saying that they are biblical, this one. This tracks with old time God. Mm-hmm. This is old time God's style. That's got his shit all over.
There's an irony.
Yeah, exactly. He loves that shit.
Yeah.
It's your fault, but you didn't even know it was going to be your fault. Mm-hmm. And now how do you feel, dumb?
Should have listened.
I'm God.
Yeah. I gave you 200 fucking dreams about Gene Hackman.
That's so many.
Too many.
I didn't even need to do it.
Yeah.
I could have just given you one loud one.
I tried to make it obvious. Idiot.
I've been telling you to wake up at 2:15.
So we'll see how this develops.
Yep.
But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.